9-14, and it will be read by Kathleen.
A certain ruler asked him, "God, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not commit to someone who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down to everyone else, Jesus told the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and say, "God, I have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves to be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Good morning. So we start this new year, and of course, as I ask every year, did you make a New Year's resolution? Did I see some heads nodding? Not too many. So I don't usually make a lot of resolutions, but this year one of the resolutions I made was to pray more often. And I know coming from a minister, that sounds like a funny resolution, right? That I'm going to pray more often. But I realize in reflecting in this past year that my prayer life has not been as strong as it should be, that I have not prayed daily as I am committed to do every year, and that things that I have asked for, things that I wanted, were not God's will, but my will. So I want to focus on prayer with us together for the next few Sundays. Let us pray first, though. Lord, we hear the words of this message as they reflect the words in your scriptures. And Lord, I ask that you guide me in these words, that they speak your truth, and that you continue to get the Holy Spirit through us. And Lord, we ask that our reflections of these words be receptible in your sight, for you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So they say every day a person usually asks themselves a variety of questions, but common questions. Like when you leave the house for school or for work, do you sometimes these questions run through your mind? Did I turn off the light in the house? Did I put water in the dog food or cat food bowl? Did I lock or close the front door? Or sometimes the dreaded, did I turn off the stove? Often, Phil and I argue with each other. No matter who's driving the car, we leave our garage, get on the street, are halfway down the street, and one of us will say, "Did you close the garage door?" And then I'll say, "But you were supposed to." And he'll say, "No, but you were supposed to." It's a whole continued debate. We even had a time where we were late to getting Phil to the hospital. I had to call Stephanie, who lives about 5 minutes away, and ask her to go by my house to make sure the garage door was closed. A lot of did I questions. When you get to school or work, you might ask yourself other questions. Did I turn in that work report? Did I complete the school project correctly? Did I say hi already to this coworker or classmate? Or even, did I lock the car when I parked in the parking lot? What do? Do you go back to see if the car is locked? Do you check your report again? A lot of did I questions. And at the end of the day, you also ask yourself certain questions. Did I pay that bill that was due today? Did I put away all the dishes and food after dinner? Did I finish that schoolwork or report? Did I even brush my teeth yet? Or again, did I turn off the stove? A lot of questions you ask yourself every day, and I'm sure you ask at least one or two or more of these questions. But a question I want you to ask yourself every day, whether it's in the morning when you got up or at the end of the day when you're getting ready for bed, is did I or will I pray today? I hope your answer to that question, did I pray today, is yes. I'm challenging us to have a more prayerful life, to pray daily, to be genuine in our prayer, and to know why prayer is so important in our lives. Prayer, they say, is one of the most important spiritual disciplines that we can practice. It's also one of the most easiest, but at the same time, one of the most hardest. They say prayer is both marvelous and mysterious. It's marvelous because when you really think about prayer, what is it? It's a conversation that you are having with God the Creator, God the most powerful person, God the Supreme above all. It's a conversation that you are having. But it's also mysterious. Some of us pray individually. Some of us pray in a community experience. We are seeking God, speaking to God, but yet we don't see God physically before us. And to pray is an action that everyone does it differently. It's a mysterious thing. Think about the verb to pray. Most definitions say that when you pray, you are honoring or praising. You are also beseeching or asking. You are doing these actions. But we all do these actions in different ways. No person really prays exactly the same way. There are other verbs, besides to pray, that we do in similar actions. If I say to jump, would we all bend our knees and leap forward? That's jumping. It's pretty simple. If I say to draw, would you take a pen or pencil and draw an image or create an image on a piece of paper? You're all doing the same thing. And what about to sing? They say when you sing, you are using your voice to make music. We would all do it the same way. Let's all sing together as a test. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. On the count of three, let's sing. One, two, three. Jesus loves me, this I seriously know, for the Bible tells me so. Great, perfect. We all sang together. We all did the same thing when I said to sing. But now when I say to pray, think about how you pray. Some people pray with their eyes open. Some people pray with their eyes closed. Some people pray with their hands together. Some people pray with their hands raised. Some people pray with just their hands to their sides. Some people pray with their heads bowed, with their heads raised, or they just look at a certain image when they pray. We all pray in different ways, and that's just our body language. That's not what we're saying or thinking or where the mind and heart is. Everyone prays in such a different and unique way because it's a personal experience. That even when you are in a community of people praying together, you will not pray the same way. You might be praying for the same thing, but the way you do it, your true heart might be different. We all pray differently. Prayer is our personal time with God. It connects us to God. It strengthens our relationship with God. It's when we go to God for guidance, for help, to seek His will, not our will. And prayer has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of centuries. It's not just a unique thing to Christians. But we know our ancestors prayed to God. The Israelites prayed to God to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. King David prayed to God before going into battle. Ruth the widow prayed to God as she was a foreigner in a new land with her mother-in-law. The parents of John the Baptist prayed to God for a child in their old age. Jesus himself prayed to God in the garden before his death. The Apostle Paul prayed to God as he was spreading the good news of salvation of the world. All the biblical ancestors prayed to God, and we must continue that legacy of praying, because prayer is such an important part of our faith. So you might wonder then, well, why do I pray to God? Does God answer my prayer? Does God really care about little old me? Does it matter when I am a new beginner, or does it matter when I am a beginner, a Methodist, a Christian for many, many years? We need to answer these questions and look about these questions, and we think about how we must lead a prayerful life. And the answers, the most amazing thing is all these answers are found in the scripture passages. In this morning's scripture passage, it's a common one that's used when to talk about prayer. And it talks about the Pharisee and the tax collector praying together in the temple. It shows how this prayer, the prayer that the tax collector did, allowed himself to be in relationship with God. And it showed also how the Pharisee tried to have a relationship with God, but failed because of the way he prayed. But you look at the passage of Luke chapter 18, the whole chapter itself, and I encourage you not to read just this scripture passage, but the whole chapter if you have time. But the whole chapter of Luke looks at prayer, different parables and stories that Jesus says about people praying and how they've done wrong or how they prayed correctly. Throughout Luke, we see the stories of people praying. We see the unjust judge and the widow, the children who come to Jesus and the disciples' denial of the children, the rich ruler who thinks his money can help him with his prayers, or the blind man that asks for God's mercy, a form of prayer. The Luke chapter 8 is filled with these prayers. The book of Luke itself does this unique thing, and again, if you ever have a chance, you need to compare the Gospels in the different ways the author of each Gospel chooses to write. The book of Luke might be a fun Gospel to read because the author tends to do this thing, what we call heroes and villains. Throughout the book, there are heroes, and countering them are the villains. From the heroes, we learn how to have correct faith, and from the villains, we learn what to not do that is wrong. Luke chapter 8 talks about the man possessed and his own family and village members deny him. The man who is possessed by demon is the hero, and the villagers and his own family who deny him are the villains. In Luke chapter 19, we see Zacchaeus, that wee little man who climbs up the tree to see Jesus. He is a hero, and his neighbors that make fun of him and say, why is he the one who gets invited to have dinner with Jesus? They are the villains. In Luke chapter 18, even in the beginning of the chapter, we see there is an unjust judge. He is the villain. And the widow who asks for mercy, she is the hero. So then we come to this morning's passage and we see another example of Luke, the author's use of a hero and villain to illustrate faith. For we see in this morning's passage that the hero is the tax collector and the villain is actually the Pharisee. Normally you would think, well, it would be the Pharisee. The Pharisee is the well-respected person of the town. The Pharisee is a religious leader. He helps the temple rites and rituals. The Pharisee is educated. The Pharisee is most likely appointed by a government leader. It gives him power. Why is the Pharisee the villain? The Pharisee is the villain because of his actions and how he prays. And Jesus uses the story of the Pharisee as his parable to tell about how we should pray. We see the Pharisee praying by himself, it says, and he's saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. So yes, on paper, it sounds great. I would love all of you for your offering to give a tenth of your income every month. Jenny would be very excited as our finance chair to help us balance our budget if you all gave a tenth of your income every month. But why is this prayer wrong? Why? When he fasts twice a week, I can't even fast once a week. I can't skip a meal. I would, you know, and gives all of his income. And says he is not like those thieves and the adulterers, the bad sinners of his church. Why is his prayer wrong? His prayer is wrong for three different reasons. First, because he is giving false praise to God. Second, because he is judging others in his prayers. And third, because he is boastful and relying on his actions and not the actions of God for forgiveness. First, he is giving false praise to God. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. He is saying to God, I'm not like other people. I must be the one then who should be praised. He's not really truly thanking God in what he is saying. His words are not honest and true. He's giving false praise to God. And then he is judging others, saying that I'm not like other people, these thieves, these rogues, these adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Judgment is a sin. Who are we to judge other people? Only God, our Father, our Creator, is the judge, the person who should rule over us. And so this Pharisee, this respected religious leader, is committing a sin within his own prayer. He is judging others. He's looking down upon them. He is basing them on what they do or how they are. He has no right to judge, and that is one other reason why his prayer is wrong. And then he is being boastful of his actions. He is saying, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. He is relying on his actions, his deeds, his duty to then guarantee him forgiveness and salvation through God. But that is not how salvation is achieved. If that was the case, then millionaires could come in through this door and give millions of dollars to the church and say, I'd be willing to skip two meals a week. And then I would then say, okay, God grants you salvation. No, that is not the case. It's not just your deeds that guarantee you salvation, but it is where your heart is. It is being humble, and it is truly knowing that it is God's will, not your actions, that will give you salvation in eternal life. So we see the villain in this parable, the Pharisee, is not praying correctly. So then we turn to the tax collector, the hero of this story in this book of Luke, and we see how the tax collector is doing the right thing. He is standing far off, not close to the temple. He does not even look up to heaven, it says, but he's instead beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, and Jesus says, I tell you this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves and be humbled, all who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector, when he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he is doing the right form of prayer. He is truly praising God. He is only judging himself, and he is doing, relying on his humbleness to bow before God. He is praising God because he is knowing that God will be merciful on him. He's physically beating himself, but saying to God, that, listen, please, be merciful on me. He knows that he himself is a sinner, and he's repentful and admitting his sins and his faults. And he knows that it is God who will give him forgiveness, relying truly on God, not his actions. Not how much money he does, not how many rites or rituals he does. But he's also being brave and taking a step forward and being so, so humble in his actions. For the tax collector of that time was the person who always, of course, collected money from homes. The person who would say to you, you owe this much money to the government, and would hound you and hound you and hound you until you paid that money. So then when the tax collector shows up at the temple, the people are fearful of the tax collector. They have money in their pockets, but the money is for the temple, to pay for offerings, to pay for prayers, to pay the temple, to give in honor of worship of God. But if the tax collector shows up and you know you owe the tax collector, the government, lots of money, and you see them at temple, you would be fearful that that tax collector is going to take your money away from you. As if it's April 15th, all our taxes are due, and let's say on April 30th, a tax collector, a person from the IRS came with a file of folders. Would you not be a little bit fearful that your tax return might be in that file and more money might be asked of you? The tax collector was someone that people didn't like seeing at the temple. But how brave then was this tax collector to go near the temple, to offer this prayer only for God to say, be merciful on me, a sinner. He was praying correctly. And Jesus is teaching the people that he is speaking to in this parable that it is this person who exalts and humbles himself before God who will also be forgiven by God. So we must follow the steps like the tax collector to remember to be humble, to praise God in our prayers, to not judge others, but instead reflect on our own faults and our weaknesses, to be honest about those and present them to God. And to always know that it is truly God who gives us forgiveness, salvation, not just our actions and deeds. For we must remember to continue to be like the tax collector as we think about developing a prayerful life. A prayerful life includes many things, and the first thing is being humble. To know when you are wrong, to know God is the person who will give you the answers, and to seek God, especially during your darkest times. Other things that I will talk about on the following Sundays come from an author, Lori Hatcher. She has a book called Hungry for God, Starving for Time, and talks about the importance of making time for prayer in your life. She talks about being humble in your prayers, but also that God is the first and only person to reach out to in your prayers. To know that you can't live a consistently sinful lifestyle and expect God to then also hear your prayers. To be patient in God's answers to your prayers. To know God's mercy, not our goodness, is the basis for answered prayers. To know that God answers our prayers with his will, not our will. And also remember to not take the privilege and the power of prayer for granted. We will talk about those things on the upcoming Sundays. And I also invite you to think about if you'd like to share, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, about your own prayer life during the next few Sundays in February. So think about that. So when I send out an email invitation, let me know. But we will continue to be a community that prays together as a community, but also encourage each and every one of other to hold each other accountable, to have a prayer in our own personal life. So then at the end of the day, yes, you will still have those questions. Did I pay the bill that was due today? Did I finish the report for work or school tomorrow? Did I, yes, turn off the light downstairs or turn off the stove or even close the garage door? I can't call Stephanie at night. But also when you ask yourself at the end of the day, did I pray today? I hope your answer is yes. Yes, God, I prayed today. Let us pray. Loving God, we speak to